Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, time to talk to Brian Baldinger, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, and he's brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Brian, I guess we got to start with the 49ers defensive line that had pressure on Goff all day. You know, let me just throw this out. Whenever we talk about basketball and a great offensive player, we say that play, he doesn't like to be played physically. And we say the same about quarterbacks. Quarterbacks don't like pressure. Is there any quarterbacks that do like pressure, or they thrive under pressure? You know what I'm saying? I mean, every quarterback hates pressure, right?
Yeah, especially, you know, if quarterbacks that get hit early in games, Steiny, they usually, you know, they're usually trying to get rid of the ball by the time you get to the fourth quarter. And I think, the defensive line did a lot of good things yesterday, but I thought there was, you know, just great defense all around. I mean, the goal line stand, obviously. The three plays at second one, third one, fourth one, in the middle of the field to begin the fourth quarter. I mean, the stuffing them there. Jimmy Ward played the best game I've seen him play in a long time. I mean, you know, they got contributions from all over the place yesterday.
Baldy, this defense is real. They're 5-0, but I want to talk about Garoppolo. And he's quarterbacking an undefeated team. But, you know, there was an interception in the end zone. Littleton could have took one to the house. He didn't. But when you watch him on film and you see this defense he's working with, do you think he can take the necessary steps to where he could just maybe, I don't want to, you know, bus drive this team to a long ride in the playoffs? Where is he at in your mind, Baldy, Jimmy Garoppolo right now?
Well, I mean, I see Tevin Coleman, you know, dropping a ball at the end zone all alone. You could say it could be a better throw, but he's kind of getting turned around. I see Marquise Goodwin dropping, a flea flicker that's right in his hands. I mean, I see some drops, you know, that didn't help. But, you know, look, when you get to the postseason, the quarterback has got to make five throws that are just exceptional throws in just about any playoff game. And the bigger the game is, from wild card to divisional to championship rounds and then the Super Bowl, the throws just get bigger and bigger. The windows get tighter, and what you're asked to do in key situations define you. And I don't think he's there yet, but, you know, he's five games into this thing and a couple games of preseason. I mean, he's just, you know, it's just a year now since he's been out of commission. So I think he's still rounding out into form and getting a feel for some of these guys. The interception in the end zone, it's kind of it's a classic Kyle Shanahan play. They're going to kind of fake the hitch and then kind of release off it, and Kittle's going to fake like he's blocking. He's going to go to the corner. I mean, I see the route, and it just wasn't executed well all the way around. I mean, it falls on Jimmy, no question about it. It falls on him. But, you know, I don't think Debo really did a good job of selling it, and it's a kind of a hit-or-miss play. The last thing you want, though, is that ball to be intercepted in the end zone. So, I mean, it falls on him. You can't make that throw. But I kind of feel like that play, you know, I'd rip that one out of the playbook.
Mm. Yeah, no doubt. Baldy breakdown. Brian Baldinger here on 95.7 The Game, 95.7 The Game Insider. Baldy, I was looking at your breakdowns on Twitter this morning, and you highlighted Jimmy Ward. A lot of people out here in the Bay Area wanted Jimmy Ward out of town, but you highlighted the way he tackles in space, the way he put his head in there in the goal line, on the goal line stand there. He's blowing up running plays now, Jimmy Ward is. And I'm just looking at this defense here with Mosley and the way they tackle. When you look around the league, who tackles better than the 49ers on defense?
Well, it was a good display yesterday. I mean, it really was. They didn't allow one explosive pass play by the Rams. I mean, the Rams have led the league basically the last 2 years in explosive pass plays. They didn't get one. So, you know, teams that give up a lot of points and big plays, it usually falls at the end. It always falls in the secondary. Either they blow coverages or they miss tackles or a combination. And they're not doing that right now. And, look, everybody is looking for safeties. I mean, everybody is. Everybody's looking for four that can play. And if you've got a safety that can actually cover and tackle, you just almost have a bonus player, and that's what Jimmy Ward is. I mean, he's a cover safety. So if he drops down to take Gerald Everett one-on-one in the middle of the field, he defended it. If he's got to drop down and cover Cooper Kupp, who led the league in third-down receptions going into the game, I believe, you know, he shuts him out. And so that's just invaluable play from him. I know he's had a lot of injuries and, you know, a lot of things in the past, but that's all in the past. I mean, if he plays like he did yesterday, the defense is a lot better.
Brian Baldinger joining us on 95.7 The Game, and he's brought to you by the Dialpad Guest Line. Hey, Brian, I'm looking at the sack leaders in the NFL right now, and I'm noticing that the 49ers, the D Ford is 27th in the league. He's the highest-ranked 49er in terms of sacks. Can you tell me what the advantages are and maybe if there are any disadvantage? They don't have one big-time pass rusher. They have four guys who can get after the quarterback. Is there an inherent advantage or disadvantage to that, or is it just another way to kind of get at the quarterback?
Well, sack numbers sometimes tell a story, Steiny, and sometimes they don't tell the whole story. You know, you got to look at the numbers at the end of the season and see what somebody has. You know, who's in double digit. You know, we know what DeForest did last year. You know, we'll look at the numbers at the end of the year and see where they're at. Right now, if you look at a number of the plays, just watch D Ford and Nick Bosa just collapse the pocket. I mean, any defensive coordinator, the sacks are great. They're a negative play. I mean, you love having them. But they'll take any defensive coordinator. I was talking to Steve Spagnuolo of the Chiefs yesterday. They will take steady pressure where the pass rusher is just collapsing the pocket. If they do that, the quarterback is eventually going to have happy feet. He's going to move. He's not going to stay there and allow the pocket to completely collapse. And so once they move, the play kind of breaks down. It's a new play after that. And Bosa and Ford, they both have a great speed-to-power move, and they can collapse tackles, and they did that a bunch yesterday. It doesn't show up in the stat page. You know, I mean, 27th isn't anything to brag about, you know, when it comes to number of sacks, but it's about pressure and what they get the quarterback to do. Goff had a miserable day yesterday. A lot of that is a function of pressure around him. He didn't get an explosive play down the field to Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp, you know, any of their Robert Woods. None of their guys got down the field. It all starts up front with the quarterback not believing he can hold the ball long enough to make that throw.
Baldy, there was one play at the end to talk about Goff. He had a bad day at the office. Gerald Everett was wide open. It looked like he kind of beat Sherman, or it could have been a miscommunication. What did you see on that play?
Well, I mean, I point that play out because the play before, they didn't cover Robert Woods in the middle of the field on 3rd and 6, and Goff missed him, and he went outside to cup, and he missed the throw, and Jimmy Ward made a nice play. But, I mean, two plays in a row, you know, these are things you have to look at if you're 5-0, and what are you going to do to get better? I mean, you can listen to all of the bouquets being thrown at you, or you can really identify, like, we blew a coverage on 3rd and 6, and then we blew the coverage on 4th and 6. And if Goff connects with Gerald Everett, it's a 20-14 game with 2.5 minutes to go in the game. And who knows what happens? So those are things that just can't happen. I mean, I don't care what the score is and what your record is. Those are things that get you beat. And so I don't know what happened on the play. I mean, it looked like Richard Sherman thought he had a safety over the top, and he let Everett go by him. And so either that or he was looking to make a play and get some numbers and hope that, you know, Goff throws the ball quickly and get himself a pick. And if that's the case, I'm not trying to think like what Richard Sherman's thinking. But, I mean, regardless, you're right. Everett's running free down the field, and Goff missed him.
Baldy, a lot of people around here are starting to dream, and they're fired up, Baldy, about this 49ers team with the way they hit, with the way they tackle, with the way they run the football. And now they're sitting at 5-0 as the lone undefeated team in the NFC. When you look at the NFC landscape right now, where do you put the Niners? Do you put them in the same conversation with the Saints, the Packers, the Eagles? Where do you have the Niners here in this pecking order in the NFC, Baldy?
Well, I mean, look, it's mid-October. I mean, you got to put them in there with the Saints and the Seahawks, you know, for sure. They're right there in the conversation with them. You'd like to see them play head-to-head and see what happens. You know, the encouraging thing yesterday is you play without your two starting tackles and a starting fullback and Brunskill and Dwelly and all the guys that were asked to fill in those roles. They filled those roles. I mean, they won as a team yesterday. It was a great team win. A lot of guys stepped up, and that's what you got to do. And, you know, I mean, we don't know what the injury tally is going to be by the time you get to November or December. But the fact that they're winning games right now when they're shorthanded, that's a good sign. The Saints have been doing it all year. No Drew Brees, no problem. The Seahawks just lost a really good tight end yesterday for the season. We'll see how they recover. So, you know, that's what it's all about right now, just playing as a team, stacking wins, and getting more and more confident about what you can do if you can get to January.
Baldy, when are you out here next?
When am I out there next? I know next couple weeks I'm in Chicago and I'm in Seattle, but I don't think I'm going to be in the Bay Area here until maybe late November or December.
Well, it sounds to me like you need to be flexed. You need to be flexed.
Yeah,
to get
I do. There's a couple games that I see on the schedule that I'd like to get out of. I'd like to get to Levi Stadium and see what all the excitement's all about.
Yeah, that they got not to get ahead of ourselves, but a big Monday night game coming up in 4 weeks against the Seahawks should be a lot of fun.
I mean, the division games are going to be huge, obviously. Winning that game yesterday is a good sign. Don't sleep on Arizona and what they're doing right now. The offense gives a lot of people problems. But Seattle is just a real, you know, they've got a great, great quarterback, and they got a great coach, and they play as a team. And so that's going to be a really fun matchup to watch.
Baldy, we were talking about Robert Saleh and all that fury that he had on the sideline. I loved it, emotion. And we were talking about, some callers were making the point like he could be a future head coach. You played this game. You've been around coaches in his position. And I'm telling the fellas, all you can do, Robert Saleh, is, oversee your unit. And if this were to continue the whole year, that would go on your resume that you were the D coordinator of a great defense. Or do you look more into it, Baldy, to where, you had great players? I guess what I'm saying to you, Baldy, what makes him stand out or attractive as a head coach?
Very smart, and he's a great communicator. And so everybody that's come out of Seattle, I mean, Gus Bradley and Dan Quinn and, Chris Richard is going to be a head coach in Dallas one day, and I think Robert's going to be a head coach. I don't know when it's going to happen, but, I mean, every coach will tell you. I was talking to Billy O'Brien yesterday, the Houston Texans. I mean, he's a much better head coach with Laremy Tunsil at left tackle right now. He just is. I mean, the offensive line is a lot better, and he's a better coach, and Deshaun Watson is playing a lot better.
Wow.
You're better coaches when you have better players. I mean, Robert Saleh is a much better coach this year than he was the last 2 years. He's got a lot better players right now. And so they're a function of both, but, how he deploys them right now, you stop teams on the goal line, the stops that they made yesterday, those were things that, the defensive coordinator would love to put up there on his resume.
Baldy, you brought up the Texans and Chiefs, and we saw the Texans yesterday go on that championship drive in the fourth quarter, eating up over 8 minutes off the clock. And the Chiefs have a problem here, losing two straight at Arrowhead, and teams are running the football down their throats. That has me thinking out west in the AFC West that the Raiders may actually have a shot at the AFC West with the way they run the ball with Josh Jacobs, Baldy.
Well, they go to Green Bay this week, and it's going to be a great test to see, because the last time Green Bay saw a team that could really run the ball, the Eagles did. They ran it down their throats on a Thursday night and won the game. It's going to be a classic case of playing keep away and win the line of scrimmage. I'm not convinced by the Green Bay offense at all. Right now, I know Aaron Jones had a phenomenal game the last time they played against Dallas and, scored four running touchdowns. But I think Oakland has a fighter's chance to go into Green Bay and win this game. I mean, Gruden started his career basically in Green Bay. I mean, he knows the history there. I'm sure he's going to give a pretty fiery speech about Vince Lombardi and all the people and all the streets that are named after former Green Bay Packers. I'm sure he'll have them coming out of the tunnel there at Lambeau ready to play. But that's a good running football team. And when you can run the ball the way they can, and they got a lot of young players on defense that are really kind of growing up. Right, Max Crosby right now looks like their best defense alignment to me. So, I think they're an improving football team, and it's going to be a really great game this week.
Baldy, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Stoney. I'll talk to you guys.
All right, Brian Baldinger, NFL insider for 957thegame.com, and he's brought to you by the Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.